Thanks for tuning in to this episode. If you haven't yet done so, please hit that subscribe button on your podcasting app. It really helps us to grow the podcast. This week, my paternal cousin Candace joined us on the podcast. She shared her journey through breast cancer. She went in for her regularly scheduled mammogram and was diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. She shared about her experience with negative reactions to implants. Let's take a listen into Candace's story. Welcome to Behind the Pink Ribbon, where we share stories, information, and other content related to breast cancer. My name is Melissa Adams. I am a 12-year genetic breast cancer survivor. I've learned so much through my own journey with breast cancer. I have met some amazing people along the way, many that have become lifelong friends. I have experienced the emotional roller coaster of a breast cancer diagnosis, heartache, anger, frustration, loneliness, and even gratitude. Through this podcast, we will speak to breast cancer survivors, supporters, and healthcare professionals to gain insight and understanding behind the pink ribbon. I'm here with Candace Wright today, and I know Candace because she is my cousin. She happens to be my cousin on the paternal side of my family, which is where my genetic breast cancer mutation comes from. So, Candace, I'm excited to have you on the show.
Hello.
So, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about your breast cancer story. Tell me a little bit about how this all kind of came about. Did you find a lump? Did you go in for a mammogram?
Just a mammogram. I didn't find a lump. I went in for a mammogram.
Okay. So you went in for just your regularly scheduled mammogram and they found something, I'm assuming.
Yes.
And then kind of what happened from there? What was kind of the course of action from that point?
After that, they did a biopsy, and it took about a month, and it came back that I had stage 1.
Okay. Did they send you for a diagnostic mammogram?
I went for a regular mammogram, and then I had a 3D mammogram.
Okay. Oh, you had the 3D one. Nice. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't have those when I was diagnosed, so, but I've heard fantastic things about the 3D mammograms, that there's so much they can just provide so much better information about the breast and just so many different images. So, okay. And then, so did you go in for, was it a fine needle biopsy?
Is that what happened?
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what was your experience with the fine needle biopsy?
It was horrible.
It was horrible. Why?
They hit my vein, so I bled.
Oh, they hit your vein, so you bled? How long did you bleed for?
Probably about 30 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, that's, and was it painful?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Was it the biopsy that was painful, or the bleeding that was painful, or the whole process?
Well, after they hit the vein, they had to stop the biopsy to stop the bleeding, so they had to redo the biopsy again. So I had to get poked twice. So yeah, it was horrible.
Okay. At the same time, like at the same appointment, not like a different appointment?
Yeah, the appointment. Same appointment. Yeah,
Okay, so they just kind of took a pause and then restarted.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. After 30 minutes, they had to wait for you to stop bleeding. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that would be horrible. And then, so how did you find out that it was breast cancer? Did they call you? Did they have you come into the office? How did that all
come about? My doctor called me over the phone and told me.
Okay. And were you okay with them calling to tell you that news, or would you have preferred to go into the office?
Probably prefer to go into the office, but I guess it was okay. She called me.
Right. Were you at home when they called?
No, actually, I was out with my niece.
Okay. And like, where were you? Do you remember where you were when, I mean, most people do.
I was at my niece's house visiting her.
Okay. And then, so they called, you picked up the phone, and they tell you that you have stage 1 breast cancer. I mean, I would imagine there were a lot of emotions that kind of went through you at that point in time.
Mm-hmm. I was just like, I paused for a minute, and I just start crying.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm assuming that your niece was hopefully supportive, I'm sure.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. She started hugging me, told me it's going to be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you were at least with somebody that you knew.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your course of treatment. What things did you have to do to treat the breast cancer?
I just went and talked to the breast doctor, and he gave me an option just to get the lump removed or get them both removed. And I went ahead and just got them both removed because it runs in the family. So I was just like, I'll just get them both removed.
Okay. So you did the bilateral mastectomy. And then did you have to do any kind of radiation or chemotherapy or hormone treatment, anything
else?
I'm taking
the hormone pills for 5 years.
Okay. So is that the tamoxifen?
No, actually I'm taking, what is it called? It starts with an L. Oh, let me go get it because I don't remember
anything. I don't know if it's, that's okay. You don't have to. I think, I'm not really quite sure. I know that there's something called Lupron that some people have taken. I don't know that that's it, but.
This is like glycerine or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, take it for 5 years.
Okay. And then, so you mentioned the family history. And so like I had mentioned at the beginning, you're my cousin on my paternal side of my family, which is where there is a genetic mutation. So did you go through the testing?
I did.
Okay. And what were the results of that?
It came back unconditional.
Okay. And so I know at least, you know, the paternal side of the family, which happens to be your maternal side, is there cancer on both sides of your family, one side of your family?
Both.
Both. Okay. And how extensive is it?
On our side is breast, but my mom actually had the hereditary colon cancer too.
Okay.
And then on my dad's side, my aunt had brain cancer, stage 3, and I had 2 aunts that had breast cancer.
2 aunts that had breast cancer on your paternal side of your family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And nothing came back definitive in terms of a genetic link.
Mm-mm.
That's crazy to have.
It just came back unconditional.
Yeah, to have both sides of your family that have an extensive history of cancer, you know, it's that's a lot.
Yep.
All right. So no chemotherapy, no radiation?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about, you know, kind of how things have changed for you as a result of the breast cancer diagnosis.
It's horrible. Yeah, hot flashes. They're horrible. Well, they had to do a hysterectomy too. They went ahead and did a hysterectomy because they said breast cancer will link with ovarian cancer. So I had to have a hysterectomy too.
Right.
And so they put me through early menopause.
Okay. Yeah. And when did you have the hysterectomy?
I had that, let's see, in October. I had my breast cancer, I had my boobs removed in April, and then I had my hysterectomy in November.
Okay. So it was like one right after the other.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And did you do reconstruction?
I did the implants.
Okay. So did you go through like the expanders and?
Yeah, I went through the expanders, the fill-ins.
Okay. And so from diagnosis to say like your hysterectomy, I mean, I would still say that you're currently in treatment still. You're still on the medication. So in my mind, that's still active treatment. So from diagnosis to the point where you had the hysterectomy, what was that time frame?
Like 6 months.
6 months. Okay. So that went really fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, to have your breasts removed and to have your ovaries removed, I mean, that I feel like would be pretty challenging emotionally as well as physically.
Yeah, it was horrible. Yeah.
And so what were some of the things that you experienced physically as a result of having both of those things removed in such a short period of time?
Let's see. The hormones, hot flashes. Like I can't even barely go outside because I can't deal with the heat.
Okay. And what about like, you know, range of motion, activity level, like anything?
I used to be able to do a lot, like get to the gym and stuff. I have like my left, when I took my lymph nodes out, my left arm is still numb. I still have numbness in it. I don't think I'm ever going to get my feeling back in it.
Okay. So did they take out all of the lymph nodes or?
No, they only took a few out and they came back negative.
Okay. But still numbness.
Mm-hmm.
And did they say that's caused from the lymph node?
Yeah,
removal?
They said it could take a couple years to get it back.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's, I mean, that has to be challenging within itself.
It is. It's horrible.
Yeah. And then what about, like, the emotional aspect?
I'm very depressed. I take medication for depression now.
Okay. And did you start that pretty much immediately after going through the surgeries?
Started probably about 3 months after I had everything done.
Okay. And what about like counseling or support group? Have you ever gone to either of those?
No, I have I joined a support group on Facebook.
Okay. And what is that support group?
It's called Breast Cancer. And it's I met a lot of nice people on there, and we go through a lot. Actually, one of the ladies I met on there actually came to North Carolina where I lived, and we actually met and hung out together.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Because she got diagnosed with breast cancer 2 weeks after I did, and we have all of our surgeries almost a week apart.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and where was she from?
New York.
New York. Okay. So she came down and you guys hung out and.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And we socialize and we talk all the time.
Yeah. Well, that's, that's kind of cool for her to come all that way to visit and to hang out. I mean, obviously you must have a great relationship that you've created.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how did that relationship kind of start? Did she message you? Did you message her?
I just, I put something on Facebook on that site, and I was really depressed, and she just started inboxing me, private messaging me, and we just started becoming really good friends.
Yeah. And is she kind of going through the same things in terms of the depression related to it?
Yeah, she's going through a lot. Yeah. She did a reconstruction with, they used her skin and make, cause she only had one boob removed.
Okay.
So she's been going through a lot.
Yeah. And so thinking about, the way that it's impacted you and the way that it's kind of, changed your life. And, I've heard you say the word horrible several times, and the fact that you're using the medication to, deal with the depression. What are some things that you might be able to offer to somebody else that's feeling that same way?
Just wish them good luck and hope they can get through it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. I mean, it's a hard thing to deal with for sure.
It is. Breast cancer is horrible.
It is. Absolutely. 100%. Can't disagree at all there. So what about family or friends? Do you rely on any of them for any kind of support?
My daughters.
Your daughters. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And in what ways do they kind of help support you?
Well, they live far away, so they call me every day and check on me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what about do they come visit? Do they, do you go there?
Well, I do. I fly down there during Dallas, Texas, and El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, because one's in the Army.
Oh, yeah. I do remember seeing that on Facebook.
Yeah. So she's in El Paso, and the other one, she lives in Dallas. So yeah, I fly down there twice a year.
Okay. Yeah. And then, so thinking about your children, have they been tested for any kind of genetic mutation?
They have. As soon as I got diagnosed and I had the BRCA genes down, they got it done and they both came back negative.
They both came back negative. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good news.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly, hopefully, yeah. Crossing our fingers that it doesn't happen to anyone, really. But I'm glad to hear that they're both negative. So
yeah,
theirs did not come back inconclusive.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. Mm-mm.
Okay. Mm-mm. And do either of them have children themselves?
Yeah, my youngest one has a little girl, and she's actually pregnant, expecting another one.
Oh, fun. Fun.
Yeah.
Okay. So, thinking about, thinking about maybe women who have been newly diagnosed, they're just kind of entering this breast cancer world. What piece of advice would you offer for somebody that's just been newly diagnosed?
Gotta stay strong and positive.
And what are some things that maybe you have done that have helped you to stay strong and positive?
I just don't think about the negative, and I just, if I start getting down, I call my girls, and they mainly keep me strong. If it wasn't for them, I probably would be like really depressed, but they make me stay strong.
Good. So really kind of leaning into your family. I'm assuming when you say girls, you mean your daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you really just kind of lean into your family for that support to kind of stay lifted.
Yep. That's about all I can do because I ain't got my mama no more. So, yep, I call them and they're like, it'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you have them. And then, you know, obviously you have other family members as well. Do you tap into any of them?
I do. I talk to Connie a lot because, you know, she's been through a lot.
Right. And so Connie is another one of our cousins from the paternal side of our family who's been diagnosed with breast cancer as well. So you do talk to her often?
Mm-hmm. Almost every day.
Okay. Okay. And I mean, it's, I would imagine, at least from my perspective, it was helpful to be able to talk to somebody that's kind of traveled the path. Even though our stories are all different, there's still something there that people can understand that have been through it.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's a scary thing.
Definitely. Definitely.
But then I had a reaction to my implants. I had to get them out too.
Okay. So what happened in terms of like what, when did that happen? I mean, all of this kind of took place in over 6 months. When did that happen?
I had them out in March.
March of this year?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was the reaction?
I had sores all over the outside of my skin, and they said I was having a reaction to the silicone of the implants.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you had, when were your implants put in?
I've had them 11 months, so they took them out, and it would have been a year.
So over the course of the year, you started noticing sores?
Mm-hmm. Then it got worse, and it got worse. It was, like, all over them, and they were, like, starting to drain.
Oh, wow. So they were, like, open sores?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So why would it take so long for them to figure out that that was kind of what was happening? I would imagine that you probably went in and, you know, met with your plastic surgeon or your, you know, medical oncologist.
I went in and met with the plastic surgeon that did it, and he's like, I've never seen this before. And he actually just straight up refused to take them out. So I actually called a different plastic surgeon, and I went in and seen him. And he actually said, I've seen that before. He's like, it's probably reacting to the silicone. So he actually agreed to take them out for me.
Okay. That's crazy. And so did you have any other symptoms besides the open sores?
I just had open sores and was getting like little like fevers because they were open and draining. So I was getting fevers. But my family doctor put me on an antibiotic, and then I went to the surgeon and he took them out. He took them out within a week. I had them out.
Okay. So was there a leak or anything in the implant that gave you any kind of exposure to the silicone? Because, I mean, obviously they're, you know, covered. The silicone is covered by an outer layer. Was there any kind of leak?
He said I didn't have a leak, but I guess my skin's just so sensitive that it was just having a reaction to it.
Okay. And then, so when you had them taken out, did you then get new implants put in?
I have nothing. I'm flat.
Okay. Okay. And that happened just in March?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's pretty fresh. And what are your feelings about that? I mean, obviously you opted to have implants, and then, you know, this kind of happened. So, you know, where are you kind of with now, you know?
Well, they wanted me to use my skin, and I refused to do it because I know a lot of people had so many complications. So, and he's like, well, we can do you more implants. I'm like, no, I don't want no more implants because I don't want another reaction. So I guess I'm just going to stay flat.
Yeah. I know a lot of women.
It's not very pretty sight though.
Yeah. No. And I, you know, think that the people, the friends that I do have that are flat would, you know, kind of agree that it's not necessarily a pretty sight. But I, you know, I guess the alternative is, you know, better to not have that reaction, and end up, you know, having another issue, yeah, with the implant. So I didn't realize that that was happening. You know, that the implants were being taken out. And so did they not offer like the saline implants? Was that not an option, or you just were like, no, I'm just done?
I just told him I was just done because he said they're all made with silicone. So I was just like, well, if I'm having a reaction to one silicone, I might have a reaction to the next one. I don't want to go through that again.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. When did you first start noticing the sores? I'm just kind of thinking, like, if there's somebody else that might be listening to this podcast and maybe they're experiencing some things, you know, what kind of things could they be looking for to see, like, oh my gosh, maybe there's something going on with my implants?
First, they look like, it's just like a pimple, like it look like a little pimple that come to a head, and then it just start like getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it started getting on the other one. And I was just like, this is not like normal. Like, so when I called her, I actually went to my oncologist, and then she sent me to my cancer doctor, and then he sent me to a plastic surgeon. And then the plastic surgeon, they all was like, I've never seen anything like this before. So when I went to this doctor, he said he's seen it before. Mm-hmm. So he's like, if you want him out, I can take him out, or we can give you a strong antibiotic. I'm like, I'm out, because I don't want to heal up and have to go through this again.
Right. So it started as like one pimple on both, mm-hmm, sides.
And it started out on one side. Right. And then like 2 weeks later, it started on the other side.
And then they just,
started getting bigger. Mm-hmm.
So then it kind of looked like was it kind of like a boil, or was it like when you say that it broke up and it broke open and started to kind of drain, was it like a creamy, or was it clear, or like, what did that look like?
It looked clear, but then it got infected, I guess, because, I mean, I didn't put anything on because I didn't know what to put on it. So,
sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was just like, what do I do? And then I called this doctor happened. I went to four doctors. And then finally, I was like, let me find me a different surgeon so I can get a second opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
So he's like, yeah, I've seen this before. So he's like, we can either give you a strong antibiotic, or we can remove them. I'm like, just remove them.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if that's where you are, that's where you are. And, you know, you've got to kind of make that decision for your overall health and your emotional health. You know, there's definitely something to be said about having to go through multiple surgeries repeatedly. So, well, thanks for sharing that, because I think that certainly will be helpful for anyone that, you know, might ever experience that. I would hope that it's rare, but I think that's certainly good information to share. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, well, we're going to go ahead and end here, but, you know, again, I'm glad that we had the opportunity to talk and share your story. So thanks for coming on.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Behind the Pink Ribbon. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you or anyone you know would be interested in sharing your story, please send an email to podcast@behindthepinkribbon.com.
You've been listening to Behind the Pink Ribbon, produced by American Creative Consulting, mixed and mastered at Riverview Podcasting Studios. For more information, please visit designbyacc.com.